You will bow your heads with me. Dear God, we come to you now, and we are thankful that you are a compassionate, loving God, a God who provides salvation, redemption, atonement, dear Lord. And we rejoice in that today. And dear Lord, we just ask that you speak directly to us, speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls. Allow us to hear your word, dear Lord. Just let us do all things here that please you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series talking about having a 2020 vision as we move into the year 2020 and lots of opportunities ahead of us. We've got a refurbished building. We got reset on our Wednesday nights. We've got new staff. Lots of exciting things going on here. It's kind of a good time to check and to do some auditing, do some accountability checks, and make sure that we're headed in the right direction. And that is healthy to do that, not only as a collective church, but also as individual families, and then also as individuals, and find out where you are, and if you're living up to what God's asking you to do inside of your life. And if you are saved, if you are a born-again Christian, then God has a mission for you. He's got a service that he's asking you to do, okay? And so we're doing a series here where we're concentrating on what exactly is the vision and what does that mean inside. And a couple weeks ago, we laid out the vision, and it's to be a church of impact. It's to be families of impact and be individuals of impact. And if you are born again, then you have been impacted by the love, the life-changing, the renewing change, interject of new life into you, the impact of Jesus Christ. And you can't help. The scriptures, if you don't believe me, read 1 John, just starting book 1. There's a couple of chapters, go all the way through all three of those and read it. And the Bible says that if you have accepted and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have been changed by the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. Your life can't help but reflect that. So we should be people of impact, all right? So last week, we kind of started dividing out what are the parts, what makes up the foundations, the biblical foundations of our vision. And there are three parts to it. Last week, we hit sacrifice pretty hard. This week, we're going to hit stewardship, okay? So this week, we're going to talk about stewardship and what that means. What is the definition? What does the Bible teach about stewardship? And what does that mean? What should that look like inside of our church and inside of our families and inside of each and every one of our individual lives, okay? So it says 1 Corinthians lays out the fundamentals. It's the fundamental statement of stewardship according to the Bible. And it says there that when people look at us, when people reflect on who we are and what kind of people that we are and how we interact with people, the Bible clearly states that people should look at us and they should know that we are servants of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that people will know us, they will recognize us as disciples of Jesus Christ by our ability to love and serve our friends and neighbors. Okay? So it says that right off the get-go. Okay? So we should be servants of Jesus Christ. All right? And then Paul also talks a lot about the mysteries of life. That is, how do you get through this life as a Christian? How does your marriage grow and come together as a Christian? These are the mysteries that he kind of says that the Bible solves and displays. He teaches about it all throughout his letters that he is sending to his fellow Christians at the time. There's a lot for us to learn there. And he says that we should be also not only servants, but also stewards. We should be stewards. Okay? And here's the tagline that he adds on, okay? And this is a very important sentence right here. You see there that it says that in order to be a steward, what is required of us to be a steward is that we should be faithful. All right, so what's that mean? What's he mean by that? Here is the meaning of that sentence. It is a everyday, lifelong process. The Bible is very clear. It says, pick up your cross quarterly, semi-annually. What's the word? Daily. Pick it up daily. We are tasked with a life, and as Christians, we're tasked with a life of sacrifice, stewardship. And this is a big thing in it. And it says that if you are going to be a steward, if you're going to be a person of impact, now listen, it can't be a once in a lifetime thing. It can't be happening every kind of thing. It has to be a consistent, consistent walk and process within your life. There should be a consistent reflection of Jesus' life or Jesus Christ in your life. That's why we preach here, and I say it almost every Sunday. Sometimes I miss, okay? But your job as a Christian every single day before your feet hit the floor is to go to the Lord in prayer, and you pray a prayer of emptying. Now, the Holy Spirit is in there. It's the gift given to us by God. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of our heart and our soul, okay? But our prayer should be, remove me of me. Get rid of the greed, get rid of the anger, all those demons in there. We're all fighting demons, okay? Some just scream out a little bit louder than others, okay? Some of us are a little better at hiding it, but we all got our demons. And here's the other deal, okay? For those of us who hide it really, really well, if those babies ever get out, it's a nightmare, right? That baby comes out. It's like, remember Alien when that thing came out of that dude's chest? Oh, that's what happens. For those of us who have been hiding that thing for, you know, decades, when that baby comes out, it's going to be ugly, all right? So, okay? But get rid of all that stuff and then make room, make me a perfect vessel, which is empty, so I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I go out and live it every day. That's what it's saying right there. If you're going to be a steward, it's got to be a consistent daily walk. All right? Now, I always talk about perspective because you have to have the right kind of mindset. The Bible's very clear about that. It says, get your mind right. And basically what that says is, if you want to know the law of mind, less of me equals more of him. That is getting the proper mindset, okay? The proper mindset tells us that for everyone to whom much is given, for those, and here's what it is, it's just laying it out really bluntly, and I'm kind of a blunt kind of guy when I get up here, okay? And I do it because I love you, and it's my job. I will never lie to you, okay? So here's the deal. Here's what he's saying to you. For those of us who have been blessed, then you are more required to serve more. Okay? That's not just a pep talk. That's just not me trying to get you to do more here at the church. Okay? That's between you and God, how you work that out. What he's calling you to do. Just because some people are blessed and they don't actually show up here does not mean that they're not serving. Does not mean that they're not answering the call that God has put into their lives. That's between them and God. It's not for me to answer what I'm answering, what God has placed in my life. Trying to live up to the requirements and the asking that God's asking of me personally and within my family and as I'm tasked with my leadership spots and within this church, okay? So that's what I'm doing. It's not me to get inside of your life and say, well, you're not serving enough at church. Now, with that being said, I'm going to get up every single Sunday and encourage you to join in more, okay? It's part of the job. That's part of my mission that I'm answering. But for you, you have to answer what is God specifically asking me to do. And it may look different in people's lives. Okay? So, but it's just basically saying that if you have been blessed, then there's going to be more required of you to serve. And here's the other thing. Okay? The more you get blessed, guess what? The more he's going to ask you to do. And then he's going to bless you some more and more and more. And guess what? He's going to ask you to do more and more and more. That's the law of stewardship right there. This is the law here. The more you're blessed, the more he's going to ask of you. Okay? And here's what should be happening the more you get blessed. You should be maturing within your spiritual life, which means that you can handle the blessings. I said that exactly the way I wanted to say it. So that you can handle the blessings that God's pouring into your life, And then you can turn those around and answer the call so that you can actually serve more. Now, some people get blessed and blessed and blessed. And in the world's eyes, they look wonderful. They're rocking and rolling. But, sometimes between them and God, they have to answer for what they're doing. And they may not be living up to what God's requiring of them as he has at the level that he has blessed them. Okay? So here's the other one. It says that we have to have an understanding of proper ownership. So a big part of perspective is you got to understand who owns everything. I'm going to speak pretty directly to you here. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's basically saying, okay, from the beginning, from the very beginning, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit have been here. Now listen to me. They are not created beings. They have always been. I can't explain that to you in any deeper terms or any better words because I kind of struggle with understanding it myself. Because we as humans have a birth date, the day we're born. We celebrate that birth. It's my stepmom's birthday today. Chris, do you want to tell us how old you are? Okay. All right. And then we have that date on the other side of that dash on our tombstone, right? And that is, you ever watch a movie that didn't wrap it all up? Don't you hate those movies? It's like, what in the world? Now what I got to do? I got to think about that the rest of my life? What happened? Okay? So that's how we think. We need conclusion. We need it to be wrapped up as humans. I don't know what that means, but he has always been here. And it says, in fact, all things that have ever been created have actually been created through Jesus Christ. And here is the reason why. This is the law associated with that. It's the law of life, which tells us that without Jesus Christ, there can be no life. So if you're not a Christian and you have not accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice at Calvary and accepted him as your personal Savior, it's not me telling you this. Don't get mad at me, okay? Don't meet me after church or catch me at my car and say, hey, what's going on, dude? This is the Bible telling you straight up. You are found dead in your trespasses. You have not yet started to live. And you will not begin to live until you have accepted his salvation and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the reason is that the law of life says there is no life, there is no creation without Jesus Christ. So all things that have ever been created have been created through, and then here's the other word, and for Jesus Christ. Now you hear that? Now here's the deal. Okay? Parents, our children are not ours. You hear what I'm saying to you? They're not ours. They're not property of ours. They're not little people that we get to, we mess them up enough, right? Okay? But they're not ours to make a replication of us. They're ours to make a replication of Jesus Christ. Okay? And if we are proper stewards, then we can be good parents with the understanding that these children are not ours. They are blessings that have been poured into our lives, and now we have to take those blessings and turn them around to where they glorify Jesus Christ. And the reason why is they're not ours. They're Jesus Christ. They belong to God. Now, I'm going to add another layer on this, and I will get, my email is aaron@stargbchurch.com. Grandparents, they're not yours either, okay? I hear the boo, boo. All right. They're not yours either. They belong to God. In fact, everything belongs to God. That job belongs to God. That salary you make, it's a blessing from God. Everything is a blessing from God. Because here's what's happening in this world, is that we have a very selfish perspective where it's about me. And here is what happens with a selfish perspective. You misapply ownership to you, and now it's your property. You can do what you want with it. Don't talk to me about that. I own that. And if I want to give money to such and such, then I'll give it. If I don't, then that's my business. These kids, I'll yell at them, talk to them any way I want to because they're mine. Don't you step in on that. That's the mindset that we have nowadays, okay? This job is mine. If you have the proper perspective that everything belongs to God, then you can't apply ownership to you. So now it's not giving money to the church. It's giving God's money back to God. And here's my sermon on that. Just so nobody misunderstands, okay? It's a New Testament sermon. You're giving. Here it is. Give with a cheerful heart. If you begrudge one more cent, one more dollar, don't give it. We don't need it. Okay? We don't need it. Because if you begrudge it, if you got a bad attitude about it, then it's not going to get blessed. Okay? So, everything was created by him. And here's the other side of that coin. Everything was created for him. All right? God owns it. It's his. If you don't believe me, do you not know that your body, see how it gets right to the very basic level, cuts all the other stuff up. That body that we abuse every day with fatty foods and what else you're pouring into your body and all that stuff, huh? I put hair, what was that stuff? Hair Logics. No, Diet Mountain Dew is good for you. Hey, just so you know, when I go to heaven and those pearly gates open up, it's going to sound like a Diet Mountain Dew can opening. That might be a little sacrilege. I'm sorry. Pray for me for forgiveness on that, all right? Okay. But in the 80s and 90s, I put Hair Logic on my hairs up here, mousse that stuff up and all that. That's why I'm bald now. That stuff was toxic. You can put it on enough of it and you see like the steam rays coming off your head. Okay. What's that smell? Nothing. Okay. All right. We abuse our bodies. You know why? Here's the reason why. Huh? It's my body, right? I can do with it what I want. If I want to destroy it, it's up. No. If you are going to become the appropriate steward that God's asking you to do and to live the life that God's asking you to live and to be people of impact, to be families of impact, to be a church and a community of impact, you got to get it right from the very beginning. And here's the deal. You don't own anything. God owns it. And when you come with that kind of perspective, it changes everything. It changes everything. I need to hit that anymore. We clear? Got that done? All right, so let's talk about what is a proper definition of stewardship. Where in the Bible are you getting this from? Okay, what's this mean? Well, let's go all the way back to the beginning. First chapter of Genesis. And this is what it says. All right. And I want you to notice the pronouns being used in this sentence. Then God said, God is speaking. He is speaking as God. He says out loud, let us. Who was there in the beginning? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Always has been. Never created, has always been there. It says, let us make man. And how is man made? He is made in the image of God. Now listen, that is a statement of magnitude impact. And here is why that is a statement of magnitude impact. Because every single element, every single thing within our lives have been created in the image of God. What's that mean? Our marriage should reflect God. It's not just a man and a woman. It's a man, a woman, and God. Because there's three in God, there should be three in marriage. Make sense? Our marriages should reflect God. God is a family within himself. We are asked to be a part of a family. Now you say, you're not married, no kid, I don't care. You are asked to be a productive member within some type of family, whatever that means. Okay? Here's what else it's saying, is that a God who is of unconditional, unlimited love, grace, and mercy, who gave everything he had, the very best that he had, so that we may have redemption and can have the relationship back, even though we are the ones who did the wrong. A God of sacrifice, a God who takes every care of everything, doesn't abuse anything. You find inside of the Holy Trinity a perfect relationship. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, speaking to us, building us up. Don't do that. Awesome job. Keep pushing forward. Those kind of words. The Bible says, Jesus Christ says, the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything that Jesus Christ taught. With that being said, the Holy Spirit does not speak his own words. He is always speaking the words of Jesus Christ, who always, always acted and is acting in the will of God the Father. They never overstep their bounds. They never insult one another. They never override one another. They never don't live up to what's being asked of them within that. It is a perfect relationship. That is what is being asked inside of a family. Do what you're asked to do. Play the role that you're asked to play. Do it. Does it require sacrifice? Absolutely. But what did Jesus Christ do? Accepted it. Accepted it and marched up to Calvary and put death to death on Calvary. Okay? So we are built inside, or we are built in the image of God. And with that being said, a God who never abuses anything, takes care of everything, always is there at the perfect time and in the perfect measure, we are to reflect that. We are asked to be stewards, to take care of everything. What's it say? He said, I'm giving you dominion over the entire world. I'm giving it to you. Over everything. The fish, the birds, the cattle, the earth, anything that creeps, I'm giving it to you. He created man in his own image. Okay? We are given great responsibility. We are given a great delegation of power straight from God. And if you expand that out throughout the Bible, when you get into some of these covenants, like the Noahic covenant, he basically says that we are responsible for every drop of blood that was ever created. There's going to be an accounting at one day for every drop of blood. That's going to be an ugly day, because there have been some lives that have just been thrown away. There have been a lot of babies just killed. I don't know how else to say that. Sorry. Okay. They're just drops of blood, created blood. How can we shore up that accounting? Huh? How have we lived up to that? It's an enormous amount of responsibility. It's not to be taken lightly. We have just utterly destroyed this earth. That's not a political statement. There are animals, species of animals that die off, and you might say, well, that's just the way it goes. Okay, that's the way it goes. All right? But anytime you put a human around something anymore, it doesn't work out very good, does it? You just have to say, that's just the answer. You put a bunch of humans around something, just stuff just starts to die off and is destroyed. That's just the way it is, okay? You want to talk to me afterwards or scorn me, whatever, okay? But that's just the way it is, and I'll show you in the Bible here in a second, okay? So he blessed them. See what happens? God starts with the blessing. He pours blessing into our lives. And then he said, because I have blessed you, he started with the blessing. Then he says, be fruitful and multiply. Do you understand what's being asked there? Be a positive influence. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Okay? Take control of it. Make it proper. All right? Have dominion over everything. And everything that is on the earth. He gave us control of that. He gave us the responsibility of everything living. Have we lived up to that? Well, as a species, we haven't. Okay? For we are God's fellow workers. We are his fields. What's that mean? He's going to plant seeds in us. Okay? Let me ask you, just this morning, just take internal stock, just an internal counting. Okay? What kind of situation What kind of crop are you producing in your life? Is it a crop of selfishness? Is it all about me and mine? Is it a crop of blessing? Are you blessing others? Are you participating in stuff? Are you active in stuff? Or is it just a me kind of thing? That's between you and God, okay? Then it says there, according to the grace, let me back up real quick. You're God's building. I want to hit that specifically this morning, okay? Because of the situation that the church is in. Because we're, if you haven't been out there, that it's pretty. It's gorgeous. It's going to be gorgeous. It's well done, okay? State of the art, everything state of the art, brand new, everything. They got lights up there. They're going to put a special kind of hue on so you can look at me and not kind of go blind a little bit. All right, it's going to be really nice up there. But here's what I'm telling you, and here's what the Bible's telling you. And it's pretty blunt. That building doesn't really mean anything. Okay, doesn't really mean anything. Is it going to be nice? Yes. Provide us with opportunities. We hope and pray, right? But the Bible says, what is the building? We are. It's like, remember the old, here's the church, here's the steeple. Open it up and see all the people. Okay, that's true. This is where it happens. This is just a building. This is where it happens. Here. How we live with one another. How we live with those we're put into in our lives. How we live among the lost. Are we judgmental? We look down on them? Or are we people of compassion and love who show them a love that they've never seen before? Who are we? What kind of people are we? I'm talking to Aaron Phelps this morning. I'm not really preaching to y'all. You guys just happen to be here today, okay? I'm preaching to me. Heavy today. It says, according to the grace of God which has given to me. Now listen to this, okay? Paul says he's a master builder. He has laid a foundation so that another can build on it. I want you to hear that this morning. And if in the remodel, there's going to be a section there. I hope I'm not blowing any special celebration or anything, but there's going to be a section there where there was the old original church exposed from 1891. Still there from the side. You think about that. That's like 25 years after the Civil War. That's how old that thing is, right? All right? Still there. And you think about what has happened since 1891. All the people that have come to this church in different eras, different generations, different decades, and given, served, given of their tithes, their money, and all that stuff going on there, okay, to be people of impact, to make a difference in people's lives. And we have a huge responsibility. Because if you look back through the ages, there's been some pretty remarkable people come through here. And a lot of them are kin to you, and they're your grandparents and all that stuff, uncles and aunts. And you reflect back on some of the people that have come here, and, I mean, they lived pretty rough, through some pretty rough times. Great Depression, okay, the floods, the fires, all that stuff. And they continue to build. We are given the opportunity to lay our layer of foundation on Star Church. You're given your chance to lay your layer of foundation in your life, in your community, in your family. Let me ask you, how's that foundation layer going? Okay, because here's the deal. There's construction projects where you come in and you do a remodel and the bones are good, the stuff is solid, and they just go to work and just build on top of that. And then there's other construction projects where they open stuff up and it wasn't laid right, the concrete block is falling in because something wasn't right. I don't even know. I'm out of construction lines, okay? I don't know what else to say about it. It's just not good. You have to go back and shore up all the stuff that wasn't done appropriately. You don't want to be, I pray to God, I'm not someone who, when people follow me, they have to come back and redo stuff that I did because it wasn't done right. It wasn't done with Jesus Christ in the middle of it. And they have to come in and redo all my work. I hope I can lay a foundation where somebody can come in and just build on top of it. All right? And that's what it's saying here, is that each of us, we have to take stock. We have to reflect on how we're building, what's going on in our life. And then here's the other thing is there can be no other foundation that you can build on except the solid foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ. And what that is saying is that if you're not building on Jesus Christ, then someone's going to come in behind you and say, we're going to have to redo this work. It wasn't done appropriately because Jesus Christ was not in your foundation. So you're going to attack this world with the new philosophies and all that stuff. But let me just say that if Jesus Christ is not at the center of your life and what you're building on, it's not going to be good. Right? It's just not going to be. And it says there, now if anyone builds on this foundation, a day will come and there will be a day where you declare the product of your work. It's going to happen. That's not Aaron Phelps telling you that. That's the Bible telling you that. There's going to be a day when people are going to come in and they're going to have to make the decision, was your foundation solid? Can you continue to build on it? Or are we going to have to go in and rehab the work that was done throughout your life? It's just the way it is. That's not me telling you. That's the Bible. All right? And here it is. This is kind of the answer. Sin has just torn this world up. It's just horrible. And it says there that the earnest expectation of all of creation eagerly awaits the day when Jesus will come back. All of creation is just waiting. They're just waiting for the day when Jesus comes back. It says, for the creation was subjected to futility, to usefulness, just absolutely no good due to sin and lives of sin. And it says there, though, but because of Jesus Christ, we actually have a hope. We can live a life of hope. We can build in hope. It's not just destroyed. And it says there that because creation itself will be delivered from bondage of the corruption and into the glorious righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it says, for we know that all of creation groans right now as if a mother who is pregnant and they're expecting a baby to be born and they're sitting there waiting for it. And here it is. There's just been too much wrong in this world. There's been too many layers of foundation laid and the work wasn't done, the material wasn't right. And all of creation is just kind of sitting there and just waiting for the day when Jesus Christ comes back and makes it all whole. Okay? This world has been subjected to a lot of sin. But back up here and get like right around in here to that word. Because here is what we're doing and here is what we're building for. Don't let your life be a life of futility. And what that means is don't let the world sucker you into its philosophies and its mood. Because the mood of today is that it's terrible. You got to go out and get yours. Selfishness, get yours and mine. Protect it. Somebody's coming after it. Don't let them get it and all that stuff. Don't let them get you into that mindset. Because we are a people of hope. We are a people of great eternal hope. And here's what I'm saying. We are a people of a promise. And here's a promise. He has gone into heaven to build a mansion for each and every one of us. We have a mansion awaiting us. And if he leaves to go to prepare a mansion for each and every one of us, the promise is that he will come back to get us. And the promise is that he will not leave us here as orphans, but he will take us into heaven to live with him forever in that mansion that he has prepared for us. But till that day, we are asked to live a life that is reflective of the image of God. And it's a life of sacrifice, and it's a life of stewardship. And for those of us who are blessed, each and every one of us, anybody here not blessed? Don't raise your hand, please. Okay. For those of us who are living a life that we are able to identify the blessings. We are asked, and I'll add the word, we are required to live a life where we turn those blessings around and help bless others. And that can only happen, the only way that happens is if you're building and if your life is reflecting the image of Jesus Christ. And that is, your marriage is 3-in-1, you're a productive part of a family, and you're living a life of sacrifice and of stewardship. So, make sure that all that we do is done in love. The underlying motive in everything that we do is love. Because we know that we're loved because He died for us. And here's what it says. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's the kind of love that's required of us. And whoever has this world's goods, if you're blessed, now here's the warning. If you're blessed and you see your brother in need and you shut your heart up to him, it says there, how does the love of God reflect in your life? How is it reflected in life? How does that happen? Let us love, not just in theory. I say this all the time here. Hopefully you've heard me say this. Love cannot be theoretical. It has to be displayed. God displayed his love by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. How is love, how is Jesus Christ reflected in your life? My Uncle Dave wrote a song. How is the gospel according to you? We have a lot of things in our life. We have a lot of ideals. You understand what I'm saying? We got a lot of things that we say is wonderful. Yeah, I believe that. That's what I'm building my life on. Make sure that your ideals, your beliefs, are reflected in your life and your living. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. This is a tough sermon. I get it, okay? Get it. Hopefully I didn't beat up on you too bad this morning. But it's serious stuff. It is serious stuff. If you're blessed, the requirement is to turn those around and help bless others. In fact, the Bible's pretty straightforward. If love exists in your life and you can't help those in need around you, how is it reflected, truly reflected in your living? We got a great opportunity here as a church. We've got some great ministries going on. We got new resources at our hands. Just a great opportunity. Wednesday night's the new start for us. Okay? If you've never been involved, I just encourage you to get involved. If you have not found your spot here yet, pray about it. Get involved. Be people of impact. But for that to happen, you have to build a foundation that is built on Jesus Christ. He has to be at the center of your life. And really pray about, is true ownership reflected in your life? Are you capable of saying all these things belong to God? And if he asks me of them, I'll give it. If you're capable of doing that, then we'll be people of impact. We'll be families of impact. We'll be a church of impact. So we come to the altar for a lot of things. And I know some of you are going through some stuff. And you got some stuff weighing heavy on you. I encourage you to come up this morning and let's, as a family, get around you. And let's pray about that, okay? Let's give it to God. If you had a celebration this week, got good news in some kind of way or form, come up and let's give the glory to God. If you are wanting to ensure that you're a person who is capable of being blessed and then handle those appropriately, what the Bible calls a steward, then come up and let's pray about that. Okay? If you're just concerned for anything, we don't use the altars enough. Come up and let's pray. And then here's the last thing I'll say. If you have never met Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't waste another single second being dead in your trespasses. Live a true life. Get life in you. That's the Holy Spirit. Accept Him. come up and make the best decision you ever make. I'll open up the altars to you this morning.